Surrounding and city and states, and our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. You'll be able to ask your questions, give your comments, and especially at the end of the broadcast, answer our question of the day. However, right now, we want to open with a word of prayer, get this program started off with the right foot. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for the many countries that are listening in. We know that, Lord Jesus, with that many countries, in your word, it says, where two or three are gathered, you're in the midst. And, Lord Jesus, we ask you to be in our midst tonight and take control of this here program. Take the wheel, Lord Jesus. We ask you to have your will and your way, Lord Jesus, especially for that soul who is nearest hell. We ask you to help them to reel up the white flag and surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word says, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy. and then Lord Jesus for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network. We ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them in a special way. First off, for the family and friends who've lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you to comfort them with your Holy Spirit as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those going through COVID-19 right now as we speak, we ask you to heal them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the situations like the George Floyd incident, Lord Jesus, and many other wicked situations just like, Lord Jesus, that we read about in our newspapers, see on the television set, or hear on the radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you right now, Lord Jesus, you help us to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and wonderful and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now what we're going to do is we got a few preliminary announcements we're going to take care of. Then we're going to see who was with us that might want to say hi just before the broadcast. So let's take care of these preliminary announcements as we get into the broadcast tonight. Amen.
This is Lynn Challenger. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
If you'd like to get in contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, @gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, @gmail.com. Again, kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, Ruth. I don't know what's going on with me, but I'm so down. All I want to do is sleep and have no appetite. I feel like it's just better to sleep right now.
Sweetheart, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, Ruthie, I wish you really knew what you could say or do, but I'm just disappointed. All I want to do is sleep, and it seems like anybody I talk to doesn't understand it.
I wish I did know what to do, sweetheart.
Well, sometimes friends don't know what to do. It's better to get the professionals to give you the help when you need it. And call the National Mental Health Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Tuesday.
Take me to the King. I don't have much to breathe. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering. Take me to the King.
Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, then on Wednesday. It's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
don't laugh at me.
The Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that could be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday.
It's not because God loved us, it's because we
College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang Show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework. P.M. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
Is U-Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations, so we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved, so come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Would you like to keep shows like this one on the air? Let me tell you how you can go about doing that. There are two methods. One, for those who use the PayPal platform, go to paypal.com, that's paypal.com, and in the box where it asks for the email address, you enter 6i6 at gmail.com, that's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. For you Cash App users, you go to Cash App, you enter $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit number 4. Again, that's $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. And in both cases, no matter how much your love gift, you enter that in. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And God will greatly, richly, honorably bless you. Amen.
Hey, baby, I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love you. Worth it. Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us this afternoon?
Well, we got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost Band of Angels. We have you, our buddy Sister Emily, and Jim, which we're glad is getting better in the hospital. And also pray for Emily. She's not feeling well tonight. And pray for me and pray for Kenny and how many other people that need it.
Amen. All right, Sister Emily, how are we doing tonight? Now, hopefully you got your coffee in.
I'm very ticked off at myself right now.
Okay.
I can't find my new phone I just got today.
Ah, it's one of those nights. Okay.
yeah, I don't know where it's at. It's about ready to cause me to pop a cork.
Well, I'll help you with that. If you give me a chance, okay? But we'll get on with the show, okay? And I'll show you how we'll do that in a short, okay? But
how, when I don't even remember the number, Kenny?
Ew, that don't help much either. Okay. Well,
yeah.
But the thing is, tonight I just want everybody to know, before we get too deep into prayer requests, that kind of thing. First off, this is the second-to-last Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. Next week, we'll be doing the anniversary show, fifth-year anniversary. It'll be our closing show because a new show will be taking this slot, and it's also going to be the tribute to Six's mother, so everybody will want to join us for that. And some of the Bible study that we've been doing, we will be transferring over with new topics onto the Wednesday show, so you'll still hear me giving Bible study. But if you have a topic or whatever, please use the email address that I've given, feelintouchking@gmail.com. Request a topic, and we will do it maybe not in as depth as we've been doing here on Friday, but we will cover it on the Wednesday show. We still will have Bible prophecy by Ruth. We have
we will continue to have on the Wednesday show, transferring it over, the good and bad buzzer with continuing with Pastor Bonnet on the Wednesday show. And when he's done, we will move on to the next person to see who does the best with that. So that will be moved to the Wednesday show. So that will not be discontinued. It will just move to the Wednesday Bible study show. So you'll want to stay tuned for that. So any of the listeners that are definitely interested in that, please check out the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. That's at 7 p.m. Eastern for that show. You'll be able to catch that. Okay, now with all that said, did you have any questions or prayer requests or comments, Em?
May God will calm me down so I can help me find my new phone.
You might want to, maybe you didn't remember to bring everything up from the car, so you might want to go double check the console and everything like
down
that.
There.
Well, it was a thought, because I know we were out today.
Also, Kenny, when you were in the bathroom, there was a lady I went over and said hi to her. I hadn't seen her in years. The family name is Simpson, and it's spelled just like the TV show. She was asking prayer for her family.
Okay.
Also for Kenny, also the Chrissy's family downstairs, she lost her aunt in Mexico the other day.
Yeah, Soto.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll definitely keep them in prayer. Chrissy as well.
We also need to be keeping our first responders in prayer right now. They're fighting a huge fire in Orwell.
Nah. That's what you call a hot situation. Would you say, Em?
Huh?
You said they're fighting a huge fire in Orwell. Wouldn't you call that a hot situation?
Kenny, would you behave?
That's what
they
call
have
a hot
five call. Tanker trucks there using them for water to fight this fire, Ken.
Yeah, that's what they call a hot call. That's what they call a burning call.
Can he behave?
That's what they call a hot burning situation.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else on your front?
I have a couple of special unspokens about myself.
Okay. All right. With that, is everybody ready for a good show?
Go on. Let's praise the Lord.
How about you, Em?
Yeah, that's boogie.
Okay. Well, then, it's that time to get out your tablet, your quick note, your pad, your pencil, your braille writer, slate and stylus for Ruthie, your vocal note taker, whatever it takes to make your notes. And if you miss anything tonight, you can always download these shows. You could get on your smartphone or tablet, and you could go to the podcast section of there and type in Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space R-A-D-I-O. And when you click on that, it'll pop up and you go to the upper right-hand corner and click subscribe. Also, as Emily said, for the Android users, you go to iHeartRadio, that app, you download that into your Android, and once you have that, you can type into it, Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space radio, and once that comes up, you could click subscribe there as well for you Android users. So with that said, you guys could have Six Eyes Radio 24/7 on demand, and when new episodes pop up, they will be right there on your phone or tablet. All right, so let us get into our show tonight. Amen. For those of you called 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617, press the number one, join the conversation, and especially at the end of the broadcast, you'll be able to ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. In the lives of David and King Saul, who would you say was the biggest hero? In the lives of David and King Saul, who would you say was the biggest hero? But right now, we're going to get into the study of David. This is part 19, and our first scripture reference is found in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 39. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 39. All right, Emily, get a huge swig of coffee. Take a fair.
Now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. And unto David were sons born in Hebron, and his firstborn was Amnon, and of Amnon, and of the Jezreelites, and his second, Chilab, and of Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite, and the third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur, and the fourth, Ananijah, the son of Haggith, and the fifth, Shephatiah, the son of Abital, and the sixth, Ishbosheth, by Eglah, David's wife. These were born to David in Hebron. And it came to pass, while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner made himself strong for the house of Saul. And Saul had concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aya, and Ishbosheth said to Abner, "Who, wherefore, thou gone in unto my father's concubine?" Then was Abner very wroth for the words of Ishbosheth, and said, "Am I a dog's head which against you to do shew kindness this day unto the house of Saul, thy father, to his brethren, and to his friends, and have not delivered thee into the hand of David, that thou chargest me today with a fault concerning this woman. So do God to Abner, and more also, except as the Lord has sworn to David, even so I do to him, to translate the kingdom from the house of Saul, and to set up the throne of David over Israel, over Judah, from Dan even to Beersheba. And he went not, he could not answer Abner a word again, because he feared him. And Abner sent messengers to David on his behalf, saying, Whose is the land? Saying also, make thy league with him, and behold, my hand shall be with thee to bring about all Israel unto thee. And he said, well, I will make a league with thee, but one thing I require of thee, that is, thou shalt not see my face, except thou first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when thou comest to see my face. And David sent messengers to Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, saying, deliver me my wife Michal, which I espoused to me, for 100 foreskins of the Philistines. And Ish-bosheth sent and took her from her husband, even when Bochiel, the son of Laish, and her husband went with her along, weeping behind her to Bahiram. Then said Abram unto him, go return. And he returned. And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, ye sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then do it, for the Lord hath spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies. And Abner also spake in the ears of Benjamin, and Abner went also to speak in the ears of David and Hebron, all that seemed good to the to Israel, and that seemed good to the house of Benjamin. So Abner came to David, to Hebron, and 20 men with him. And David made Abram, Abner, and the men that were with him a feast. And Abner said unto David, I will arise and go, and will gather all the Israel unto my Lord the king, that they may make a league with thee, and that thou mayest reign over all that thine heart desireth. And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. And behold, the servants of David and Joab came from pursuing a troop and brought in a great spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he was gone in peace. When Joab and all the host that was with him were come, they told Joab, saying, Abner, the son of Ner, came to the king, and he has sent him away, and he is gone in peace. Then Joab came to the king and said, what hast thou done? Behold, Abner came unto thee. Why is it that thou hast sent him away, and he is quite gone? Thou knowest Abner, the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee, and to know thy going out and thy coming in to all that thou doest. And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Sirah. But David knew it not. And when Abner was returned to speak with him quiet, and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Ashiel, his brother. And afterward, when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab, on all his father's house, and let there not fail from the house of Joab one that hath an issue, or that is a leper, leaneth on a staff, or that falleth on a sword, or that lacketh bread. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, slew Abner, because he had slain their brother Ashiel at Gibeon in the battle. And David said to Joab, to all the people that were with him, rend your clothes and grind you with sackcloth, and mourn before Abner, the king, and King David himself followed the bier, and
they buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king of laminated over Abner and said, "Died Abner as a fool dieth. Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters, as a man falleth before wicked men, so fallest thou." And all the people wept again over him. And when the people came to cause David to eat meat while it was yet day, David sware, saying, "So do God to me, and more also, if I taste bread or aught else till the sun be down." And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, as whatsoever the king did pleased all people. For the people of Israel understood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner, son of Ner. And the king said unto his servants, "Know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel? And I am this day weak, though thou anointed king, and these men, the sons of Zariah, be too hard for me. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness."
All right, we got a lot of meat to cover tonight, and we hope you'll be listening. But what we're going to also do tonight, because of time's sake, when we come up to where we would do the wrap-ups for the end of each segment, we are not going to read those. So, just to save a little time's sake. All right. But for right now, we're going into our first scripture context, which is found in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. All right, Emily, take us there.
Now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but the house of Saul waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. And unto David were sons born in Hebron, the first being Amnon, and Amnon of Ahinoam, the Jezreelites, and the second, Chilion of Gabriel, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite, and the third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the son of Talmai, king of Geshur, and the fourth, Ananijah, the son of Haggith, the fifth, Shephatiah, the son of Abital, and the sixth, Ithream by Eglah,
David's wife. These were born to David in Hebron. And it came to pass, while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner made himself strong for the house of Saul. And Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah. And Ishbosheth said to Abner, "Where hast thou gone unto my father's concubine?" Then was Abner very wroth for the words of Ishbosheth, and said, "Am I a dog's head which against Judah do shew kindness this day unto the house of Saul, thy father, to his brethren and to his friends, and have not delivered thee into the house of David, into the hand of David, that thou chargest me today with a fault concerning this woman?"
Well, here we go again. You're giving us extra meat again like you did last week. Okay. But mainly the main point on this text is the names of David's children by notice, even though he was a man after God's own heart, he had multiple wives. So we find here that David had these multiple wives, and yet he had children by these wives. Amen. All right, now let's go into our second context, which is found in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 6 to 11. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 6 to 11. All right, Emily, take us there.
"And it came to pass while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner made himself strong for the house of Saul. And Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah. And Ishbosheth said to Abner, 'Wherefore hast thou gone into my father's concubine?' Then Abner was very wroth for the words of Ishbosheth, and said, 'Am I a dog's head which against Judah do you shew kindness this day unto the house of Saul, thy father, to his brethren and to his friends, and have not delivered thee into the hand of David, that thou chargest me today with a fault concerning this woman? So do God to Abner, and more also, except as the Lord hath sworn to David, even so do I to him, to translate the kingdom from the house of Saul, and to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan even to Beersheba.' And he could not answer Abner a word again, because he feared him."
And now we find Abner being accused of a fault due to a concubine. And this other guy is saying, are you accusing me of this fault, blah, blah, blah. But the idea is he's trying to make himself strong against the kingdom of David. And he's just trying to pull a fast one, is what he's trying to pull. Amen. All right. And our next scripture context is found in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 12 to 16. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 12 to 16. All right, Emily, take us there.
And Abner sent messengers to David on his behalf, saying, "He is delighted, saying also, make thy league to me, and behold, my hand shall be with thee to bring about all Israel unto thee." And he said, "Well, I will make a league with thee, but one thing I require of thee is, that is, thou shalt not see my face except thou first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when thou comest to see my face." And David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, Saul's son, saying, "Deliver me my wife Michal, which I espoused to me, for 100 foreskins of the Philistines." And Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband, even from Bashiel, the son of Laish. And her husband went with her along weeping behind her to Bahurim. Then said Abner unto him, "Go, return." And he returned.
And in the main part of this context, we find Abner saying that he wanted to see David face to face, but David said, "Hey, I'll see you, but under one condition. Return to me my first wife, Michal, who I espoused to me for 100 foreskins of the Philistines." And so he sent and got her from this other man that Saul had married her off to. And this guy comes along weeping after her, boo-hoo. And he sends this guy back home and takes this woman, Michal, and brings her to David. Amen. All right. Now we're going to come to our last scripture context. Like I said, we're going to not do a wrap-up on this half of the show, but we're going to do a last scripture context. Just before that, though, we wanted to let you know where Pastor Bonnet has been with the song and poem, and he has been 12 for 14, and he has 6 good buzzers in a row. Will he make it 13 for 15 and 7 good buzzers in a row? Or will he be 12 for 15 and 1 bad buzzer in a row? We'll find out very shortly. But right now we're going to end this half of the broadcast before that with this last scripture context, which is found in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 17 to 21. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 17 to 21. All right, Emily, take us there.
And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, "Ye sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then do it, but for the Lord hath spoken of David, saying, by hand and of my servant David, I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies." And Abner also spake in the ears of Benjamin, and Abner also to speak in the ears of David in Hebron all that seemed good to Israel and that seemed good to the whole house of Benjamin. And Abner came to David to Hebron and 20 men with him. And David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast. And Abner said unto David, I will arise and go, and will gather all Israel unto my lord the king, that they may make a league with thee, and that thou mayest reign over all that thine heart desireth. And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace.
So here we find Abner finally showing up at David after he talks to the people of Israel, saying, well, you wanted David for king, so here he is. Now he goes to see David and makes up, they have this feast and talks all these good words to David. But what was the plan there? Well, after the break, we're going to find out. But right now, we're getting ready to have Pastor Bonnet come in with the song and poem. But just before that, I want to remind you, you could go over this section that we just did for your own reading pleasure and kind of savor over what we just read, 2 Samuel 3, 1 to 21, in your own time. But we're not going to do it tonight for time's sake. But you could wrap up this half by going over 2 Samuel 3, verses 1 to 21 to wrap yourself over this section. But right now we're going to turn the mic over to Pastor Bonnet and see if he could tell us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
To trust and too tired to pray, said one, as the overtaxed strength gave way. The one conscious thought by my mind possessed is, oh, could I just drop it all and rest? Would God forgive me, do you suppose, if I go right to sleep as a baby goes, without an asking if I may, without ever trying to trust and pray? Will God forgive you? Why think, dear heart, when language to you was an unknown art? Did a mother deny you needed rest or refuse to pillow your head on her breast? Did she let you want when you could not ask? Did she set her child an unequal task? Or did she cradle you in her arms and then guards your slumber against alarms. Ah, how quick was her mother lived to see the unconscious yearnings of infancy. When you've grown too tired to trust and pray, when overwrought nature has quite given way, then just drop it all and give up to rest, as you used to do on a mother's breast. He knows all about it. The dear Lord knows. Just go to sleep as a baby goes. Without even asking if you may, God knows when his child is too tired to pray. He judges not solely by uttered prayer. He knows when the yearnings of love are there. He knows you do pray. He knows you do trust. And he knows, too, the limits of poor, weak dust. Oh, the wonderful sympathy of Christ for his chosen ones in that midnight tryst. When he bade them sleep and take their rest, while on him the guilt of the whole world pressed. You've given your life up to him to keep, then don't be afraid to go right to sleep.
All right, Pastor Bonnet, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
All right. Thank you for another election there. Very good talk. Dealing with being able to reach up your hand to know that someone there can hold your hand like a little child walking across the street. You can know that the parent there will hold you, guide you in the right direction, and you don't have to be afraid. And the poem was something similar, that even if you're too tired, they know that that the Lord is there to keep you. I can remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said to the disciples, he said, could you not go with me just a little while? And then he said to them, you know, he said that the spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. So in the midst of that, I think our answer would be Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and maybe 29. It says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So take my yoke upon you. That's to take his hand and learn of me, for my yoke, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your soul. So I think, you know, when we're tired in life, we come to Christ, and we will find in him rest for our soul. Although we may be tired, he like a good mother, he never turns us away. So that's my kind of answer to the two texts. The song and the poem. I think that would give us a common theme, I would say, in between the two. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come ye and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in your heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul.
Well, you did it again. You are on a definite roll here. You got that one right on the nail on the head again. Because that's exactly what he is talking about. Reaching up and feeling that hand. It's great, bigger than yours, and he would give you rest. That's exactly it. Amen.
And I'm glad the scripture says, study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightfully divided, a word of truth. That's helping me right now, I guess. So I'm thankful that, hey, we can always reach to God when we don't know. And he'll direct us in the right direction and keep us in the right direction as well. So thank you again for a wonderful challenge.
Amen. And I think what we'll do now is pause to hear about the great programming found here only at the Success Radio Network and a few other messages, and we'll be right back with you. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Success Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday,
take me to the King.
Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on The Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
don't let me.
The Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that could be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific on Friday.
It's not because God left us, it's because we refuse.
Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang Show. It's where you get Bible college on the air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking in Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. And we're back and want to remind those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of the broadcast. You can ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. In the lives of David and King Saul, who would you say was the biggest hero? In the lives of David and King Saul, who would you say was the biggest hero? Amen. All right, but now we're going to get back into our study of King David, and this is part 19, and our next scripture context is found in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 22 to 26, 2 Samuel chapter 3. Verses 22-26. All right, Emily, take us there.
And behold, the servants of David and Joab came from pursuing a troop and brought in a great spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron. where he had sent him away, and he was gone in peace, when Joab and all the host that was with him were come, they told Joab, saying, Abner, the son of Ner, came to the king, and he has sent him away, and he is gone in peace. Then Joab came to the king and said, What hast thou done? Behold, Abner came unto thee. Why is it that thou hast sent him away, and he is quite gone? Thou knowest Abner, the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee and to know thy going out and thy coming in, and to know all that thou doest. And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Zirah, but David knew it not.
And here we find, basically, Abner, after he had been sent away, Joab coming to David telling him, hey, do you realize what Abner did? He deceived you. So why did you send him away? Why was you not privy to his subtlety? And that's what Joab was telling King David. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 27 to 34. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 27 to 34. All right, Emily, take us there.
And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Ashiel, his brother. And afterward, when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab and all his father's house, and let there not fail from the house of Joab one that hath an issue, or that is a leper, or that leaneth on a staff, or that falleth on the sword, or that lacketh bread. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, slew Abner because he had slain their brothers Ashiel and Gibeon in the battle. And David said to Joab and to all the people that were with him, rend your clothes and gird you with sackcloth and mourn before Abner. And King David himself followed their bier. They buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king lamented over Abner and said, Died Abner as a fool dieth? Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters, as a man falleth before wicked men, so fallest thou before wicked men, so thou fallest all, and all the people wept again over him.
And we see here that Abner was killed by Joab because Joab had wanted to kill him because of what he did with his brother. And so Abner died, but yet King David said his kingdom was guiltless, and he mourned for Abner. David mourned for Abner is what we find. Amen. We're going to have for our last context, because the wrap-up for this half of the show, as well as the total wrap-up, we're going to skip for time's sake. So we're going to have this final scripture context, which is found in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 35 to 39. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 35 to 39. All right, Emily, take us there.
And when all the people came to cause David to eat meat while it was yet day, David swore, saying, "So do God to me, and more also, if I taste bread or aught else, till the sun be down." And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, as whatsoever the king did pleased all the people. For all the people and all Israel understood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner, son of Ner. And the king said unto his servant, "Know ye not there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel? And I am this day weak though anointed king, and these men, the sons of Zariah, be too hard for me. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness."
And you could see here that it confirms that it was not of David to slay Abner, because he wouldn't eat meat or touch anything else. He fasted to the evening, because he said his servants realized that it was not of David to slay or kill Abner. And like I said, wrap-up scripture, which would have been 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 22 to 39. You can read that at your leisure to wrap up this half of the show, and you'll see what we've been through in this half of the show. But it basically shows how David was not out to kill Abner, but he had been killed by Joab because of him, Abner, messing with Joab's brother. But it was not of David to kill Abner. And then finally, wrapping up the complete show was 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 39. You can read that whole thing to get the full context of everything for your reading pleasure. Amen. But I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. You'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of the broadcast. Ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. In the lives of David and King Saul, who would you say was the biggest hero? In the lives of David and King Saul, who would you say was the biggest hero? Amen. But right now, we're going to pause to hear a few messages, and we'll be right back with you. Amen.
This is Lynn Tolliver. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm just ready to say heck with life and ready to feel like I'm feeling like I'd be better off 6 foot under.
I do that, Em. I don't know much about this.
Well, that's just how I'm feeling.
Well, if that's how you're feeling, you may call a friend, but remember, they're not professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. Is U-Haul open? We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vestibula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations, so we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved, so come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service, 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are ready. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. He'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio. This commercial is also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. But now it's time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
In the Holy Bible, it tells of a day when the beast shall walk among us and many shall fall away. Famine, war, and desolation, they should rise in against nation, trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of men, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn. Yeah, read the book of Revelation for yourself.
tribulation.
I don't wanna be here.
Tribulation.
When that flame of star goes down.
Tribulation.
When the seven seals are broken.
And the seven vials are open.
And the seven trumpets sound. Lightning streaks from east to west across the sky. God's faithful ones will disappear in the twinkling of an eye. Many are called, but few are chosen. Brother, don't let your heart be frozen. Don't you want to go? This world will be in bondage under Satan's evil power. The Antichrist will rule until that fire will blow you out. When pain and sorrow disappear, and God will wipe away all tears, joy forevermore. I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and understand there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world, take your Bible off the shelf, read the book of Revelation for yourself.
Tribulation.
I don't want to be here.
Tribulation.
When that flame of star goes down.
Tribulation.
Seven seals are broken.
And the seven vials are open.
And the seven trumpets sound.
Time periods of Daniel. If a person understands the book of Daniel, then it's most likely he'll understand the book of Revelation. And if he understands Revelation, the other prophetic books will all fall into the rightful place. Over the years, I've endeavored to major in Daniel as the key book of the Old Testament and in Revelation as the pivotal book of the New Testament for prophetic understanding, okay? The key that unlocks the mystery of Bible interpretation is positioning the events of Scripture, and of course, time periods are most important if we are to rightly divide the word. When one begins to explain, okay, the Scriptures pertaining to the last days, the culmination of this age, and the formation and culmination of the kingdom age, then it's necessary that we correctly position events or we become confused, and that could happen to anyone if you don't pay attention. Okay, for instance, what's the explanation for the amillennialists? Someone asked a fellow what he thought about the millennium, and he had to stutter by saying, and then the man who asked him the question says, oh, yes, you're an amillennialist. In other words, he was not able to position the events of Scripture. Much of the culmination of end-time Bible prophecy revolves around the seven-year tribulation period. Gabriel, the angel, came to the elderly prophet Daniel in the city of Babylon and made known the 70 weeks of years which were determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city Jerusalem, Daniel 9:24. 7 weeks of years, or 49 years, were used for the rebuilding of Jerusalem, according to Daniel 9:25. 62 weeks of years, or 434 years, were used for the completion of the city at the end of the 49 years to the time Messiah was to be cut off or crucified by men, and is according to Daniel 9:25-26. There's 1 week of 7 years remaining, and that's the last 7 years, which follows immediately at the conclusion of the church age. This 7 years is referred to in Daniel 9:27, of course, in your KJV. Next scripture. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation of that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. That's Daniel 9:27. The he referred to in this portion of Scripture has reference to the Antichrist, or as Matthew calls him, the abomination of desolation. That's Matthew 24:15. So we see there's a seven-year period will still remaining of the original 490 years, which Gabriel made known to Daniel in the city of Babylon. Looking in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 7, we find that there is a particular significance put upon the last half of this seven-year period of tribulation. The Bible specifically talks about the last half of the seven-year period because it's going to be during this three-and-a-half-year segment of the seven-year period that the Antichrist, or the abomination of desolation, will rule completely. Let's examine two passages of Scripture from the book of Daniel relative to this one time period. First of all, we're reading in Daniel 12, verse 7. There's a scripture, and I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand into heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Daniel 12, 7. In other words, the man who we see clothed in linen is an angel and is impressing Daniel that what he's going to say is the truth, because we find him holding up his right hand and his left hand and is making a covenant unto heaven that what he says is true. Then he proceeds to say that for a time, times and a half a time, when history has run its course during this short segment of time, then all these things shall be finished. What we have spoken here is actually a reference to the last 3.5 years of the 7 years, tribulation period, borne out in the fact that a time in Scripture is 1 year, times is 2 years, and half a time is 6 months. So when you add one time plus two times, you have 3.5 times, would be 3.5 or 3.5 years. This is also borne out in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 25, the latter part of that verse, which says, now here it is, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing time. That's Daniel 7, 25. We want to turn you to the last book of the Bible, Revelation, and there we have the same phraseology picked up by John, the Revelator, in his Patmos vision when he talks about the woman fleeing into the wilderness, into her place, where she's going to be protected by God for a certain length of time. Read this verse, you'll see that it has reference to the last half of the seven-year period that Gabriel revealed to Daniel in the city of Babylon. And to the woman Israel were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Revelation 12:14. Daniel wrote some 500 years B.C., and John is writing approximately 100 years A.D., probably at least 500 to 600 years apart. Both of them are using the same terminology, times, times, and half a time. So we see that the first time period of Daniel has reference to time, times, and half a time. So far, we have seen this as reference to the last half of the remaining seven-year period, original 490 years that Gabriel made known to Daniel, in which the Jewish people and the city of Jerusalem will be placed under accentuating circumstances. We just want to move into the second time period of Daniel, which causes tremendous anxiety and question marks in the minds of Bible students. Invariably, folk come and say, well, what about the time figures or the several sets of years mentioned at the end of Daniel? What do they mean? Well, that'll be explained in the Bible. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth, and cometh to the 1,305 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. That's Daniel 12:11-13. Contained in these three verses of Scripture, we have the two other time periods of Daniel, and really they are very simple to explain. Okay, we've seen the first time period has to do with the last half of the seven-year period, and it's identified as a period of time, times, and half a time, or 1,260 days. The second time period of Daniel has to do with 1,290 days. Third time period of Daniel has to do with 1,305 days, or 1,335 days. In other words, there's an additional 75 days tacked on the end of the seven-year period. We know that the seven-year period runs for 2,520 days. If you divide that by 30, allowing 30 days to the month, you have 84 months. If you have 7 years, 12 months to the year, 7 times 12 equals 84 months or 2,520 days. That's an established fact that no arguments don't necessarily to spend any time more discussing it. My husband would have that done figured out in 5 seconds because he's so smart. Okay, the scripture we are specifically interested in is the second time period, which has to do with 1,290 days. In other words, the last half of the seven-year period of 1,260 days long, and that proven in the book of Daniel, chapter 7 and verse 25, also Daniel, chapter 12, verse 7, it's also proven in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 6, where it says the woman is to flee into the wilderness, and she is to remain there 1,203 days. This is also proven in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, where it talks about the two witnesses, two men that God sends down from heaven who are to be his personal representatives on the earth during the last half of that seven-year period. The Bible says they shall prophesy 1,203 days, Revelation 11:3. So we have the 1,260 days established. Daniel talks about 1,290 days, in other words, an extra 30 days tacked on to the end of the 1,260 days. Then it says, blessed are they who come to the end of the 1,335 days, which is an extra 75 days on the end of the original 1,260. There are a number of things that are to take place at the end of the seven-year period will require an extra 75 days of all those things to be completed for the next order of events of the kingdom age to get underway for final administration of that age to be established. It's going to require 75 days to do all that. First event, as involved in this 75 days of time, is the Battle of Armageddon. We get this in the 3rd chapter of Joel, the 14th chapter of the book of Zechariah, and the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, beginning with verse 11 through 21. We'll not take time to read all of the scripture involved in these three lengthy references, but you will see what they have to do with the Battle of Armageddon, and the Battle of Armageddon is fought at the end of the seven-year tribulation period, takes place during the first part of the additional 75 days, book of Daniel. I'm not able to determine in my own mind from Scripture just how long the Battle of Armageddon will be or last. Some Bible teachers say it will last only about 24-hour period. We do know that Jesus Christ will return from heaven with the armies of heaven, and that includes the armies of the angels, the armies of the redeemed of all ages, and he will come back to this earth to fight a battle. Of course, it will not be a hand-to-hand combat battle or airplanes flying over troops, strafing them with shrapnel. But it's the battle in which Jesus Christ will defeat the forces of Antichrist by his own power. Praise God. We have reason to believe that the soldiers in the Antichrist army on the ground will look up into heaven and they will actually see the vision. It's recorded in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ riding a white horse coming toward the earth, followed by millions of white horse riders. Finally, and actually, this is going to put the fright of God in the hearts of the soldiers on the ground. So anything I would say about the time limit or duration of this battle would be mere speculation on my part. The only thing I do know is that it will take place at the end of the seven-year tribulation period. It will be fought during the first part of this extra 75 days mentioned in the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel. So it might be fun just to read the whole chapter for fun. At the conclusion of the Battle of Armageddon, the Bible tells us that the Antichrist and the false prophet are to be consigned to the lake of fire. Good place for them. Please bear in mind this takes place during this 75-day period immediately after Armageddon. Here's scripture. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and that worshipped his image. These bulls were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, the place. Revelation 19:20. Following this consignment of these two associates of the devil into the lake of fire, Bible says that Satan, who now runs to and fro in the earth as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, to be confined to the bottomless pit, prison house, during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Again, that's good for him. So Satan has to be put in the bottomless pit. Oh, wait, oh, bugger, thanks. Scripture, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. That would be a good place, too. Keep him quiet. And set a seal upon him. He should deceive the nations no more. Revelation 20, verse 1 and 3. All this takes place in the first part of the additional 75 days of time mentioned in the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel. We further learn that those people who lived during the last half of the 70th week of Daniel, who willingly took the mark of the beast, or they might buy or sell, or who bowed down and worshiped the beast of the Antichrist, will have a special curse put upon them. That curse is described in this manner. The third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. For they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Revelation 14, verses 9 through 11. Those people who became beast worshippers during that last half of the seven-year tribulation period must be rounded up in the first part of the kingdom age, which is actually during the 75 additional days mentioned in the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel. They will be rounded up, and they will be sent to hell. In other words, if you run with the devil, you go where the devil goes. The Bible says that hell was created for the devil and his angels. You can read that in the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 41. So people who we put in hell during this 75-day period immediately following 7 years of tribulation are the first part of the kingdom age. Just how all this will take place, we are not told, but I'm sure there must be an element of the supernatural involved, as so naturally it will happen quickly. Also involved in the 75 extra days mentioned in Daniel, the 12th chapter, will be the gathering of the nations of the earth for judgment. I'm talking about the Gentile nations who will be gathered by Jesus Christ in his second advent. This will all take place in the 75-day period. Let's share just a portion of scripture from the book of Matthew regarding this judgment. The entire reference is Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. Well, not take time to read all this reference, but just a few verses to give you the idea so you can see that what we're talking about is actually based upon the Word of God. Here's the judgment of the Gentile nations. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he shall sit upon the throne of his glory. For him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. That's Matthew 25, verses 31 to 33. This is the judgment of the Gentile nations, and it takes place during this 75-day period, which is spoken of in the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel. Okay. Now you can read that again. That's pretty cool. You'll like it. When Christ comes back at his second advent, the scripture indicates he's going to present himself to the nation of Israel specifically. He'll show them the nail prints in his hands and the spine wounds in his feet, convincing them that they crucified their king and turned Barabbas the murderer, scot-free. We're further told that Israelites throughout the world are going to be gathered back to what has commonly been known as Palestine for centuries, now known as the State of Israel. It tells us in Isaiah 11:11 that the Lord shall set his hand again, second time, to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left, from Assyria, and from Egypt, and from Pathros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. We're further instructed by the pen of Matthew at the second coming of Jesus Christ that will be the miraculous gathering of the Israelites, and it's described in this manner. They shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they, the angels, shall gather together his elect, the Jews, from the four winds and from one end of the heaven to the other. Matthew 24:31 in your King James Version. These plural are the two phrases, the four winds and from one end of the heaven to the other, indicate from all over the world, wherever on this planet Earth an Israelite lives, he'll be miraculously taken back to Palestine. It all takes place in the first part of the kingdom age, and especially sometime during the 75 extra days mentioned in Daniel chapter 12. Naturally, with the Jews the world over being miraculously taken back to Palestine, they'll have to have a place to live. You can imagine what it would be like in the first 75 days of the kingdom age when Jews are miraculously brought back to that part of the earth. There'll have to be a place for them to live. The Bible's not silent on this, but says most emphatically that there will be the division of the promised land into 12 different distinct areas, and those 12 areas will be settled by the 12 tribes in their particular portion that was given to their forefather Abraham. This is initially set forth in the book of Genesis, where it says, "And it will give unto thee, Abraham, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession." Genesis 17:8. The same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "Unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates." Genesis 15:18. The dimensions of the land stretch from the river of Egypt to the Euphrates and from the Persian peninsula to Asia Minor. At the present time, the Jews do not possess that land. But in the first segment of the kingdom age, during the 75-day period mentioned by Daniel, they are to be put in the land, given the 12 tribes, and they will occupy that land throughout the kingdom age. Naturally, these 12 tribes are going to be governed in a specific manner, and the Bible says that God will place the 12 apostles in responsible positions looking over the 12 tribes. Scripture, "Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." That's Matthew 19:28. This was the message he gave to the apostles. He foretold their responsibility in the kingdom age and the establishment of their rulership over the 12 tribes of Israel. This begins in the 75-day period spoken of by Daniel in the 12th chapter, the book bearing his name. Another factor which we do not want to overlook is the fact that Jerusalem is to become the capital of the world at that time. There's some folk who say that Rome is the eternal city. Now, the destruction of Rome is mentioned in the book of Revelation, and we further learn the word of God that Jerusalem has become the eternal city when it becomes the international headquarters of Jesus Christ during the kingdom age. Naturally, there will be the establishment of Jerusalem during this first 75-day period because the land will have to be cleansed. A great earthquake would have shaken down every building in that part of the world at the time of Armageddon, and so Jesus Christ will have erected a magnificent headquarters building in the city of Jerusalem. Now we go to Scripture. "Even he, Jesus Christ, shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both." Zechariah 6:13. When Jesus Christ returns in his second advent, he establishes a form of government, which will actually be a dictatorship, because the Bible says he shall rule them with a rod of iron. You have to set up various departments of government throughout the whole earth. This is set forth in various scriptures throughout both the Old and New Testaments. But one scripture which is most emphatic and very clear on the subject is the one which I shall share with you now. "And he, Jesus Christ, shall judge among the nations, shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." That's Isaiah 2:4. This great truth is further substantiated in the fact that we do know that there will be nations on the earth other than the Israelites, and the scripture indicates that nations would be subordinate to Christ. That time he will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, indicating that there will be other kings and there will be other governments, but they'll all be subject to him, brought out in both the Old and New Testaments. "For the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance. When he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel." Deuteronomy 32:8. "And he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations." Acts 17:26. In other words, there are going to be people inhabiting the earth, and when I say people, they'll be physical people. They will marry, will live in houses, they'll be farmers, they'll produce children, and their children will grow to maturity and marry, and they'll have children, and the earth will repopulate itself, and the kingdom age will actually recover from the tremendous slaughter of mankind that takes place in the tribulation period, also during the Great War of Armageddon. Both the Old and New Testaments resurrected saints will rule with Christ in resurrected exited bodies. The Bible says we will be as angels at that time. We'll have bodies in which we will be able to appear and disappear. We'll be rational beings. We'll be administrators with Christ, and we're going to be in charge of the Gentile nations during the kingdom age. And this will all begin in this 75-day period spoken of in the 12th chapter of Daniel. There's one verse of scripture written by the pen of the Apostle Paul, which sets forth this truth in a very dramatic manner. Do you not know that the saints shall judge, rule the world, and if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? That's 1 Corinthians 6:2. The same truth is magnified in the book of Revelation, where it plainly says that we have been made unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth, Revelation 5:10. This statement is self-explanatory, and there's no point in wrapping it in mysticism. It merely says that we're going to rule with Christ on the earth. Because we're going to be administrators during the kingdom age. We're going to be ruling over physical people, and the degree of rulership at that time will be determined by the manner in which we serve God now. So we're working in this life for a position of importance in the kingdom age, because we're going to be assistants to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There are other verses of scripture that support this position. And, of course, there'll be much necessary work involved in our rulership with Christ in preparing the earth at that time to house the people who are ploughed into that part of the planet Earth. Jerusalem will be the focal point of all political and domestic activity, simply because it's the geographical center of the earth's land surface, and this is brought out in the book of Ezekiel, where it says, "This is Jerusalem. I have set it in the midst of the nations and countries that are round about her." Ezekiel 5:5. So we can see that the teaching that I've shared with you, that the time periods of Daniel are literal time periods. First one identified as time times and half a time is the 1,260 days, the last half of the seven-year period. Then in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, there's another time period known as 1,290 days, and then a third time period as 1,335 days. When you subtract the 1,160-day length of the last half of the seven-year period from the 1,335 days mentioned in Daniel 12:12, you can see why he says, "Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days." God has a master plan. Everything that is taking place on the earth today is according to God's plan. This world hasn't run away from God in the sense that God has lost control of what's going on. Everything that's happening on this planet Earth at this very moment is under the control of God, whether it's the permissive control or the direct control, it doesn't matter. God is still in charge, and God is bringing everything to pass according to his overall master plan of the ages. God has placed in between two eternities 7,000 years of recorded time, and when the world, and I'm referring to mankind, when mankind moves to the end of the kingdom age, after the great white throne judgment has run its course, then God's going to destroy this earth according to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, and then God is going to make a new earth, and that new earth will be the habitation of all, saved of all ages throughout eternity. In other words, between the original eternity of Genesis 1:1 and the second eternity of Revelation chapter 21, verse 21, God is placing 7,000 years of recorded time, and God knows exactly what's happening. Time periods of Daniel are a small segment of that 7,000 years of recorded time. And our next lesson will be Mysteries in the Bible.
And we want to thank you, Ruth, for that great information about the time periods of Daniel. And we know it's not because he was a woman and had menstrual cramps. Amen. But we want to thank you for that great information about the time periods of Daniel. Amen. But right now we're going to pause to hear about a few great messages about our station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, and we'll be right back with you. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday,
take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering.
evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on The Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, then on Wednesday. It's time for Bible study, the Wednesday Bible study show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
don't laugh at me.
The Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that could be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday.
It's not because God loves us, it's because we refuse.
Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible college on the air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
7 days a week. What you really want? The Six Eyes Radio Network.
And glory, hallelujah. We're back and I want to remind those who call 424-2439 of the day. In the lives of David and King Saul, who would you say was the biggest hero? In the lives of David and King Saul, who would you say hero? It's that time. It's open mic time. And for our last time of actually having the question of the day, as next week we'll be having the show for our anniversary and the tribute show for Mother Six Eyes, we won't be having that next week. So, and that being our last show, but tonight is our last show having the question of the day. Anybody want to take a gander at the question of the day? Who we got with us, Ruth?
Well, we got Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We got you, Sister Emily, and Jim, which we're so glad he's with us.
All right. Well, let's start off with Emily.
Oh, you mean we got the Smurf Chaser with us tonight?
Yeah, we got Gargamel with us. All right. So, Emily, in the lives of David and King Saul, okay, in the lives of David and King Saul, who would you say was the biggest hero?
No.
Well, in your own opinion, who would you say was the biggest hero?
I think it was David to me.
Okay. Well, I'm going to weigh in on that, and I'd say you're pretty much right on that because he stood up against Goliath and had no problem with standing up with using the Lord's strength against the big giant. What do you say, Ruth?
I'm with Emily. You go, girl.
So all three of us agree tonight. All right. And Emily, did you have any questions on the stuff we gave tonight?
No, I'll be honest. I started dozing off.
Ah, okay. Well, then with that, Em, do you want Ruth to give the closing prayer or you want to do it tonight?
Yeah, well, everybody.
All right. Well, Ruth, you want to give us a closing prayer, and then we'll have our last Red Sylvain song for at least tonight, and then we got a special couple of them for next week that we'll be doing. But for tonight, our last time for having the regular show, we'll have it here tonight. Go ahead, Ruthie.
Oh, dear precious Lord, we love and praise your name. And you know all the prayer requests. I don't, so you got mail, precious. We just love you so much and hope everybody's feeling good tonight. And everybody that's not feeling good, you can handle that too. All right. Love you. Amen.
All right. And so here we go. We're going to close out with this Redsel Vine song, which has a very good message for everybody to consider. Amen. And I warn you, he's throwing a couple bricks at everybody out there tonight.
Well, you better have your hard hat and kilt on, baby.
If Jesus came to your house, I wonder what you'd do. Yes, if Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two, if he came unexpected, just dropped in on you, oh, I know you'd give your nicest room to such an honored guest, and all the food you'd serve to him would be the very best. And you would keep assuring him you're glad to have him there, that serving him in your home is joy beyond compare. But when you saw him coming, would you meet him at the door with arms outstretched in welcome to your heavenly visitor? Or would you have to change your clothes before you let him in? Or hide some magazines and put the Bible where they'd been? Would you turn the radio off and hope he hadn't heard? And wish you hadn't uttered that last loud, hasty word? And would you hide your worldly music and put some hymn books out? Could you let Jesus walk right in? Or would you rush about? And I wonder, if the Savior spent a day or two with you, would you go right on doing the things you always do? Would you go right on saying the things you always say? Would life for you continue as it does from day to day? And would your family conversation keep up its usual pace? And would you find it hard each meal to say a table grace? Would you sing the songs you always sing and read the books you read and let him know the things on which your mind and spirit feed? And would you take Jesus with you everywhere you plan to go? Or maybe would you change your plans for just a day or so? Would you be glad to have him meet your very closest friends or hope that they would stay away until his visit ends? And would you be glad to have him stay forever on and on? Or would you sigh with great relief when he at last was gone? Oh, it might be interesting to know the things that you would do if Jesus came in person to spend some time with you.